Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I am Kristen, and I'm here with psychic and author Neil Baker. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you here. So glad to be here. I sound like a robot. Feeling a bit...
Well, that's the new age.
Program today.
We are becoming robots.
Don't say that. It's scary. Just want to let everybody know how to stay in touch with us before we get into our topic. Of course, you can follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. Please do so. We'd love to have more followers on our show, as we would more friends on our Facebook page and our fan page. So you can find our Facebook page via our Blog Talk Radio profile, Neil Baker Psychic Hour, sorry. Also, you can reach Neil 562-596-7818. The phone lines are filling up here, so we're going to get right to our topic. We get to calls at about quarter after the hour, everyone, so please be patient. But we are continuing our conversation about higher intuition, and we spoke about this a little bit on Monday for those of you who hadn't listened to our Monday show. Neil, why don't you fill them in?
Fill them in?
What we talked about.
Well, we're talking basically about the difference between psychics and intuitives that... Indeed, there is a difference between the two. A psychic is going to, there's more of an acute energy with a psychic. A psychic is more involved in the spiritual realm. They do connect to higher guides, angels, entities, people who have crossed over. That's a psychic. And psychics can also have the advantage of predicting the future. An intuitive has a feel for the future. They have an intuition, but a psychic has a direct connection to the future based upon the higher aspects of how they connect to a higher form of intelligence.
Someone just tweeted to us, listening now, help.
Help.
So this may be one of our callers.
Maybe it's John Lennon.
Right. Yeah, and we were talking specifically, I mean, you know, what I want to ask you, Neil, I was talking about my own psychic development on the last show and how I'm experiencing more psychic hits that aren't accompanied with a sensation or a vibration in my body, whereas before we met, all my psychic experiences were really more intuitive in nature because there was always a sensation accompanied with it. So I want to ask you, Neil, as a psychic, do you operate on that intuitive level? Aside from just being a psychic.
Well, I operate on the intuitive level.
In terms of physical vibration. So you get
yes.
that as well.
Yes. And sometimes I do direct readings on merely being an intuitive. Intuition is basically speaking as opposed to refining your voice and singing. That would be like a psychic. You're refining your energies. You're refining your gifts. And your naturally endowed capabilities and perfecting them in such a way that you actually transcend into something higher, that would be a psychic. An intuitive, we all get to be intuitives, but not all of us get to be psychics.
Right.
Psychics has a clear definition as to how one connects to the outside universe, the universe outside of us. And connects with actual entities and spirits and guides. And intuitive is basically our own antennae. How we perceive the energies around us, we're very sensitive to it, and we have a fundamental understanding that we can, in a way, translate feelings into something that's a little bit more directly connected to prediction, but isn't directly connected to a absolute intelligence that's giving us those predictions. So everyone can be intuitive. It's kind of an empathy. You're feeling something, you're sensing something, you're getting outside of your body, even though you're still connected to your body, you're becoming other-oriented or otherworldly-oriented, and you're giving impressions about what may be occurring or what may be happening. Intuition is more like a kick in the groin. It's like a kick in the gut that you get, and you get this feeling. It's a feeling. A psychic gets inspiration from a knowledge. It's a different source. You're directly linked to something that is not, it's an entity. I don't know how to explain. Well, maybe I am explaining it, but there
you
is a big difference.
It. But as far as being able to start to fine-tune one's psychic ability and know when they're being psychic, because, you know, as I was saying, I don't know when I'm being psychic. I don't know, and then I realize later I get some kind of validation. So how do we begin to interpret the information that we're receiving and realize that there is?
Well, that's the fine-tuning process as to how we fine-tune our faculties here by being psychic faculties or intuitive faculties into perfecting what the level of interpretation is. So you have to work on different layers as to how you interpret things.
Oh, we just got another question. We got a tweet.
Yeah.
A question on our subject matter, which is why I'm mentioning it. We don't normally answer personal questions in this manner, but someone is asking, are detached intuitives more emotion-based? And yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're still emotion-based.
It's emotion-based. It's emotion-based because you have to, the emotions stimulate the body. Thoughts can stimulate the brain, but the emotions stimulate the body. And the body is a signal, and then that signal's connected to sources outside of us because we send out a vibration. It's like a sonar. We send out a vibration, and we get back a vibration, and we thereby perceive or interpret or calculate what that meaning may be. We can fine-tune these things by actually learning how to interpret things on a literal level, interpreting different languages. And watching a movie and interpreting its deeper meaning, listening to music and interpreting what the lyrics may be saying, reading a book and interpreting what's between the lines. This is the basic academic function of learning how to be an intuitive reader. Start by being an intuitive reader. You start off by literally reading, and that's literally listening. You know, when someone's talking to you and you think, you know, they're telling me these things, but I sense something else. They're really depressed. That's not being psychic. That's being skillfully listening with your ear. Or when somebody's saying something and they go, you know, you're not really concerned about that. What I really think you're concerned about is this. But it underlines that. That's the beginning of being a reader without being psychic. Someone may say, boy, you're very perceptive. You're very insightful. When I was a little kid, I started off by being insightful. I was five or six, and adults would say, you're a very insightful kid. You really can read a person. But I wasn't making predictions then. I was just starting off being insightful. But little did I know that as I grew older, and it wasn't too long thereafter, that I channeled it into something more specifically and defined as intuition and thereby being psychic. Being intuitive, you have a hunch. You're sitting there and you wake up and you go, God, I got a feeling today. I have a feeling today something's going to happen or something bad or someone's going to call me. And that's the basic element of being intuitive. And it basically comes, it's inbred within us. We're designed to have intuition because, you know, when we were very primitive beings, we had to feel, God, are we going to walk out and get nabbed by a saber-toothed tiger? they didn't have dinosaurs and people at the same time, but saber-toothed tigers and mammoth elephants and things like that were around during man's time, and we had to be very cautious of those factors. Well, there were, in those tribal settings and those small clans, if you will, cave-dwelling clans, there were very strongly intuitive leaders who could sense where danger was. Sometimes it was by the literal translation of animal sounds in the air, or footprints, or the perception of smelling something, because they could smell a wild animal. And then it developed into getting a feeling. And these feelings developed as we incorporated them with our brain, with our intelligence. And that combination between brain and feeling is what we use to lift up into the areas of intuition and then being downright psychic, which is actually connecting to a guide. So you start off by being, like I said, by just practicing the level of interpretation on a literal level and then getting into a feeling level, because there is going to be a difference between what the brain interprets and what the feelings interpret.
We're getting another tweet. This is actually kind of fun, people asking these questions via tweet. Actually, it's from Vaccine Truth News. This is the person that's been querying us this morning. Anyway, I wonder what they think about the whole measles epidemic, but that's an entirely different topic. They're asking, if you're an emotional person, is it more difficult to be psychic? And then they say deals with the pineal gland. I'm not sure what that question entirely means when they're mentioning the pineal gland. But as far as being a more emotional person, I mean, I would say that being more emotional might open you up to being receptive to a higher energy, not a block.
Yeah, yes, being emotional in the pineal gland, which holds the intuition and all those elements in the brain, it's that zone where we start to attach and tap into things that are on the surface unknowable.
Oh no, unknowable.
Unknowable. So the idea that yes, emotions are there, but here's the problem with emotions. You have to shift through the subjective quality of emotions, because when you're very emotional, your own emotional state can alter, distort, change what you're really perceiving.
Of course, of course.
And so you become, it gets through such a flood of your own emotions that you're almost, you know, it's not good to be an hysterical or too emotional a person to be a reader. When I first started off doing professional readings, there wasn't a reading I didn't do where I wasn't crying. I was crying all the time. I couldn't stop myself from crying, because part of the channel of reading someone is to have empathy,
mm-hmm.
to get into their space, to feel who they are. But I wasn't skillful enough to separate their emotions from my emotions, and I got into an accident of crying all the time by feeling them too much, and I wasn't able to ground myself. I gave accurate readings, but it was kind of embarrassing to be crying all the time during a reading. I think people were impressed that I felt so deeply for them. That's empathy and understanding and compassion. But, you know, a doctor doesn't come in and go, you know, you have a whooping cough and it's upsetting me. You know, unless you want to, you know, unless you want to have a comedy show. But here you have to be objective,
mm-hmm.
and that objectivity is the road to giving an accurate reading, and that's what you ultimately want to do. So there's I would suggest to the caller that you have to start to learn how to be in charge of your emotions, so you can separate them, not abandon them, but separate them from giving an accurate reading, and using them sparingly. In order to tap into what you're trying to resource.
Yeah. Okay. Neil, I think we should get to the callers. I don't want to cut you short, but we can continue this Monday or on the show today, because we have lost half of our callers.
5'7", I can't afford to be any shorter.
No. All right, 402.
Hi. Hi. Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're very welcome. What's your name?
I'm Diane.
Hi, Diane. And where are you calling from?
I am in Lincoln, Nebraska, where it's very snowy today.
Okay, well, good. I wish we were snowy here in California, but unfortunately, we're beset by the sun. What's your birthday?
I'd rather be with you guys in California, trust me.
I'm sure it's hard in the winter in the Midwest. What's your birth date?
3/24/62.
And what brings you to our show, Diane?
Well, I've been working on some different things. I've gone through a lot of changes in terms of consciousness and understanding and things like that over the last year or so. And I've been working a lot since then on just improving my life, enjoying, appreciating life more, and sharing the gifts I've got. And I've been doing a lot of work, and I'm also looking to hopefully in the process of sharing those gifts, getting them out there, to bring in some more money, because that's been kind of a setback for me. So what I was asking for was some guidance on what else I can do to continue honing the skills, some of the new skills I've just discovered, and just kind of then sharing those with the world and encouraging other people to kind of tap into what they came here to do and sharing those skills.
Well, you're on the path of enlightenment. And you're actually on a path of some personal transcendent validity, because your master number, we'll get to back to numerology, Diane. Your master number is 9, and it's made up of 27 basic years of karma, meaning that in 1989, towards your pathway of attaining enlightenment or psychic conversation with the world, you would have had a change around the age of 27 in 1989. It could have amounted to an earthly change, meaning a move, a divorce, a marriage, an educational change, a job change, but that still would have ultimately began the journey towards your higher form of enlightenment. Do you recall it in 1989 at the age of 27, what was going on in your life?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I had this really profound dream where I was murdered in the dream, and I woke up, and later I saw a film where I saw myself. It was like I time traveled somehow in that dream, because I saw a film in physical life where I was actually in a clip of it as an extra, and it kind of floored me.
You're not talking about an actual movie. You're talking about are you alluding to a film, an actual movie?
To a film, yes.
What film was that?
It was Topper.
Oh, Topper. The old ghost movies. Yes. That I watched Topper when I was a child. Now, I'm talking about there was an old show called Topper, and then it was a movie with Cary Grant. But that Topper was about a couple that die in a car accident, and then they come back and haunt this man, and it's comedy, actually.
Right, right. That was the movie.
Yeah. And it's a good movie. It was back in the 30s. They later, like I said, developed a television show that was very popular and fun, and I watched both of them. I agree with you, Diane. I was very intrigued by that, being a little psychic kid, too. We're talking, they weren't murdered. They died in a car accident, that couple, turned out to be ghosts in the film and in the TV show. The attitude of being murdered, though, at the age of 27, you connected to when one of your past lives ended at that age. So for the first 27 years of your life, you're kind of basically moving through the patterns and the reflections and shadows of that past life. Even though the parents and the family, the dynamics are a bit changed, but the transformation of one lifetime to another is still significantly designed. And then at that age, you start to develop this idea that you have to reach deep into your frontal brain and start to bring out more attitudes of psychic energy and guidance and that kind of thing, to where you can graduate to a higher level of not only having completeness within yourself, but helping others complete their lives through the pathway of guidance. Now, what's significant about why I'm discussing this briefly with you is that your master number is 20. Your master number is 9. And you go, so you go in multiples of 9 throughout your life, being that 27 is, 9 is divisible, 27 is divisible by 9. So your next major event is going to be at the age of 54. And that's going to be double, in fact, double your karma of 27 years. So between 51 and 54, the next 3 years, you're actually, which is another element of the, of 9, a multiple of 9, you're actually moving towards the perfection, if you will, the first stage perfection of your craft. I don't want to call it of your energy. When we talk about craft, we get mixed up with witchcraft and stuff like that. And I don't want anybody bombarding me with emails that you mentioned something. So that element of energy now is significant. Because when we're in this line, Diane, of the next 3 years to the age of 54, we tap subtly into the month you were born, which is a 3. And that 3 now designates your gut, your stomach, which is called the higher brain of the lower body. Because when we have a gut feeling, that's where we initially have our intuition. And so you're developing at this point in your life, and preceding this too as well, the attitude that you are gaining higher knowledge first in the lower body. And for the next 3 years, you will advance toward through your chakras. You'll probably go down to your second chakra and have a rebirth, then move up to your fourth and have a heart revelation, and then slowly climb upward to your sixth chakra, which is your third eye. Now you're about 54. And then come back again to your second chakra and have yet another rebirth. So the energy between 6 and 2 is 4. So that resonates with the 4 of your day, which repeats itself now as a balance of energy. Every time we balance our energies, the balance is accented by how far we've come to grow in life. So you can have balance as a 6-year-old, and you can have balance as a 30-year-old, but each holds its own content of what maturity level that balance contains. So as you develop yourself into a unique human being with psychic abilities that you're trying to move forward into an attitude of teaching and guiding others, you're going to have to learn how to expand that energy in such a way that you can analyze, interpret, calculate the energy levels of how other people move through time and space, let alone yourself. So we get into a deeper, broader category of how you're going to have to go into a deep study. So what I perceive, Diane, and you're a good listener, what I perceive is that you're going to go into a deep inner study, a sanctuary of sorts within each of your chakra levels, and understand what each chakra content is in your life, the first, the second, the third, all the way up to the seventh, and it doesn't end there, mind you. But you're going to have to understand, what am I as a grounded person? What am I as a sexual, emotional person? What am I as an intuitive person, a heartfelt person, a person who communicates and can get their point across? A lot of psychics I encountered, they kind of go, well, I'm not really sure what I'm getting. Is there a birthday cake around you?
I love the sound.
You know, and it sounds like they're having more than one kind of movement. But the attitude here, Diane, is that you have to be quick, mind to tongue. It's got to be quick. It's in the twinkling of an eye. So you have to really do everything. You know, people who go into meditation, everything, you're always on tap. You know, do exercises, walk around the block and predict what you may see before you make your return revolution at your home. Are you going to encounter a black dog? Will there be a cat somewhere along the way? Will a bus by? Start to practice and become skillful. And while you're doing that, what happens is guides from the astral realm will get a signal about you. like sharks getting a wiggling in the water. And they'll come by and they'll say, what an interesting person. Look what they're doing. They're trying to develop their skills. Let's see if we want to tap in and join ranks with them. That's how I developed some of my guides, more or less the ones that I got from past lives. I don't know if that helps, but that's the beginning of the first word of a conversation between how to become a psychic.
Yes, that helps a lot. Although what you just said, it prompts one follow-up question. When you were going through that, how did you, was it difficult, or was there a special way you discerned between the spirits that were genuinely of the light and what may have been false light?
Yeah. Well, I used certain guidelines. And I'm sure I'll come under attack for this, but I conditioned myself to study the Bible diligently, and not with a pure heart of interpretation. So I went to the Bible sources, and I studied them diligently. I went to other sources as well to understand the astral realm, so I was well read, and I had an inbuilt ethical moral code to begin with, so I had that quality. But I will say this, Diane, guided spirits and enlightened spirits did take me into the darker worlds to understand and analyze the content of demons and lower spirits, and indeed they even allowed me to converse with them, to talk to people who had committed suicide from the other side, to understand the content of what we typically call the darker side or the demon side. You have to know your enemy in order to understand what light is, because the world is a duality, and you can't just stay ignorantly involved in the light without understanding what evil is. So I also conversed with my angels and said, allow me to fine-tune my discernment. Whatever is dark, don't let them be around me. Or if they are around me, let me work them over like a cop and analyze where they're coming from. So I deal with many cases, Diane, where I have to deal with people who have dark entities. And if I didn't understand them and learn how to converse with them, how can I help the person? If I run into a difficult case, I call upon angels to escort demons away, like Christ did. So I'll do that, you know, or I do it through the power of my own being, channeling higher power, of course. It's not my ego that would do it. So I've learned to do that and have discernment, but I've also continuously conditioned myself to have light around me. And to tell you the truth, dark spirits don't like to be around me because it's too hot. My intensity is too hot. I'm too much trouble for them. So even the ones that do try to challenge me, and there have been demons that have tried to challenge me, if I feel overwhelmed by them, I just call on God and angels to get them out of my world and have clarity. My main mission is to help others, and I do so without ego. So that's the real premise. And then I've always protect myself by giving an allegiance to a school of angels and guides and spirits that I feel is connected to a higher light. And again, I've been challenged by people who will say, well, you know, Lucifer is the angel of light and you're deceived and being psychic is evil and you were forewarned, you know, the Bible says the astrologers and seers are going to get their due. Well, you know what? Every hair on the head, God numbers and he defines. And if that's my big mistake, it's my big mistake, but I do not believe that is where I'm going. So in order for me to interpret and have personal responsibility to how I give readings, I ascribe to higher sources, and God knows my heart and my intent, and I go that way. And I feel if something's evil, you know, I deal with it accordingly. So there is that attitude, you know, and you start off, Diane, by thinking of having your child in a room with yourself, and you're going to either give it up to a stranger or you're going to protect your child from a stranger. You have a certain intuition about people. Same thing with spirits.
Okay. Well, that helps a lot, because I had been introduced more to a lot more to the dark side in the last year. So what you were, those tips you were giving me, that really helps a lot. I feel more comfortable about moving forward with that now. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Diane.
Main thing, Diane, have angels. Let angels be your spotters. Connect to angels. You connect to angels by, in my respect, I connect to God, the Trinity, the attitude of higher consciousness. I use that as my focal point, and I've it's never let me down.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Thank you,
Diane,
both.
Thank you so much.
Have
thank
a great
you.
Day.
You too. 562-596-7818. Yeah, very vital information, Neil.
Yeah, well, it's dense. I mean, I don't think there's any end to discovering what vital information consists of. You know, it's we can only do so much in our bodies and our minds, and you know, to gain an advantage over that, I project myself. I astral project myself out and converse on a higher level with spirits, which I believe a lot of the higher human beings, the saints and higher people than myself, have done throughout their course of lifetime. So you do that. It's also a deep connection to studying the text, the Bible, the Talmud, whatever it is you want to, you know, even the Quran, whatever it is that you're attuned to with integrity and with the idea that we are in a compassionate universe with all the problems that are going on today in the name of God. God forbid, that's God's direction. We're in a world not of destruction. We're in a world of construction. And that's the construction of us as a human species, not the destruction of it.
Well, and I think that it was valuable that she brought up the fact that there are darker entities. And if we're focused, I mean, of course, we want light and love and all these wonderful things in our life, but we have to be aware of the duality that exists in the universe, and protect
darker
ourselves accordingly.
It's interesting. You know, God sends sometimes darker energies as his agent. He actually sent the devil, Satan, to tempt Job. It was under God's direction. And then Satan himself has, if we're using these terminologies, has his own team of demons that are sent. So we can have dark agents sent from the realm of a higher being. I'm always amused by that movie and by the book Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The agent of Willy Wonka was actually, everyone thought he was this sinister character. He turned out to be, you know, wearing black in the movie, and in the book he's kind of a sinister character. But actually, he was an agent of Willy Wonka. And of course, this is, Willy Wonka is an analogy of, you know, of a king or a god or God himself. It's a fairy tale,
mm-hmm.
By Roald Dahl. But the attitude that sometimes I have experienced darker energies that seem really dark and ominous, but they turn out to be of light.
Hmm.
And I have seen lighted characters that seem beautiful turn out to be demons. So I'm not, you don't define a spirit by the way they look, just like you don't define a person by the way they look on the earthly level. Some of our best spirits are not the most, you know, they're not like snarling with fangs and they're drooling, but they have they come into an energy color. And as God created night from day and made that division, he said, and therefore there was night and it was good. So not everything black is bad. I mean, look at our priests. So of course our priests, we're going to have priests that are good and bad. But not every priest that wears black is bad. Black is the color of the depths of energy, the mysteriousness of God, and the conveyance of the human face coming out of God, out of the blackness, to give enlightenment. So the attitude of the colors of religion is that there is light in darkness. That's the guiding force of those symbolic colors.
Okay, Neil. We've got 951 that's been waiting patiently. I believe this is Nathaniel. Am I right?
Yes, you're right.
Hi, Nathaniel. 5157. How are you? He's a
2810. I'm great.
What is your question today? What's going on? Or is there an update for us? Do you have any job news?
Well, I didn't get the Harley job at Harley
Davidson.
Oh, no. What? I just called them yesterday, and they hired somebody else, but they will be hiring someone. I just said, well, why didn't you know you hire me? You know, and he said, well, they found someone that they thought was more, you know, qualified or in touch with the scene in the Harley up here. So,
I'm sorry to hear that. Do you have a question today that you want to ask, or?
And you know, I'm just possibly work or career or finances. Is there going to be a big windfall coming in, or will I be moving to a house or something or another area?
Okay, you're in California, right?
Well, I'm in Barstow, California, and I'm out in the middle of the desert in Barstow,
right.
And there's only 20 or 30,000 people here, and there's not a lot of cities that are, Linwood has 4,000 people, and so it's kind of, you know, it's kind of tough up here. There's not much.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that job. I personally feel disappointed too, and I'm sorry to hear that, Nathaniel, because I was putting out energy for that, and unfortunately, we can't always be successful in putting out energy and making the miraculous come to light. I wish I could do that. I really do. So I'm personally disappointed that you didn't get that job. But, you know, on the other hand, we have to kind of look underneath the meaning of it all. If somebody was more qualified than you, maybe there's a different path that is beyond our common knowledge as to where, how you're going to be formulating that energy. You're in Barstow, so you're challenged by the geographics and the location. You're in the middle of the desert. There's 20,000 people. There's probably, whether your mind is going to settle to some kind of mediocre job and you're bagging groceries, or whether you say to yourself, you know, I just can't do that. I'm too old, I can't do it, and I've got to look for something. The only thing I can tell you, Nathaniel, is I'll continue to put out another attitude of enlightened advancement towards your life, that there would be some guide or spirit that might help to remove the barriers and the blocks to keeping you from feeling self-actualized and going to a higher realm. I put out that prayer for you, / request. I don't, you know, windfalls, you know, people call me, you know, when am I going to win the lottery? I'm not here on this planet to tell you when you're going to win the lottery. If you win it, you win it. Good for you. But I'm not here to, I'm not really placed here in my capacity of thought to say who's going to win the lottery and who isn't. I've never been successful with that kind of thing. But I do work on a deeper level, because it's not the lottery that's important. It's the soul's journey on the planet that also gathers up the fruits of physical enjoyment. And I believe that the two have to be combined together to make a complete package of existence. But, one can't confuse the other. They both have to work in unison. So the only, I don't know. The only thing I can tell you in an esoteric vocabulary, Nathaniel, is I'm hearing a flute. Now, when I hear a flute, I perceive it to be a celestial flute, something from the astral realm. So I'm hearing something about a flute. But a piccolo or a flute always draws in a guest. It's a kind of a flute thing where something's going to happen. And so I have a feeling, and you're 57 years old, which is the year you were born. So I have a suspicion, Nathaniel, that we haven't exhausted the year yet. We have until May 1st. And so sometime between now and May 1st, you're going to get a job. I'm going to put that out as a request / verbal accurate statement, if you will, short of a prediction. But I'm going to use that in terms of my own ability to connect to angels and guides. They're hearing Nathaniel needs a job. We're going to put it out. I just will be elated when you call us up and connect to the radio and say, I got the job. So just keep in there. Keep involved, Nathaniel. Be positive. Be optimistic. Consider your skills and go to the right area around you, look for the resources that best connect to what your skills are, and reapply. Let's see if we have any luck that way.
All right.
It's got to be something. I know it's kind of a vague, I send you out, I push the boat off the shore and have you in the boat and sending you out again, but let's see if we can catch a fish. I've been successful with this in the past, so let's give it another try.
All right.
Okay, Nathaniel, well, we're putting out the best energy for you and prayers. And, you know, Nathaniel's a regular listener, and he hears that, you know, even the people that just call the radio show have results. One of our callers was going to be evicted, and she was subsequently able to remain in her home. So, it, you know, people do achieve success when Neil's working with their energy. So,
you know, and another thing that Kristen and I do in our off the radio, we work together with clients. We work with energies, psychic energies. We even play with cards, just a regular pack
deck of
cards. And we work with energy. We have a lot of fun doing it, and we envelop in that, in our little system of exercises, the element of our radio audience, the people we work with, so we just don't do this and then walk away from the people we speak to. We carry your lives with us, and we work on your behalf on the so-called the off hours.
Ah. Well, thanks for putting in my prayer request. And I was kind of, when I mentioned the lottery, I was also considering any money that might come in inheritance, or anything from, like, my family or aunts or anything like that.
Are you expecting an inheritance?
Well, I know some of my family I'm really not talking to, but I know that they're pretty well off. And I know my brother actually had me in his life insurance policy for a substantial amount of cash. But, you know, my brother's like my best friend right now, so I don't really want to see him go.
No.
Real quickly, Daniel.
337 know that they're next, so just hold on, 337. Go ahead, Neil.
Okay, Nathaniel, maybe if you don't mind sharing this on the air, what's your highest peak salary that you're accustomed to?
You know, I really haven't made a lot of cash. I've actually made the most I've ever made this year, and it was including the unemployment. It was actually, without the unemployment, it would have been not my highest year, but I only made $20,000 this year, so I've really never made it. I got an inheritance about 20 years ago. I invested it. I paid off a house I bought for $125,000. It went up to over $500,000, and I should have sold it. I really think I should have sold it, and I was meant to sold it, but I had a lot of clutter and didn't know what to do or where to move to, you know, and the house went down. So even though I've never really made over $20,000 a year, I bought a house for 100 and a quarter and went up to 5 and a quarter and, or more. And then I put a mess into it because it was so terrible. And I have money I should have bagged because I did a short sale on it. And the realtor got another $100,000 off for toxic mold that was never there. And, I kind of felt like, you know, she used me on that. And now I'm really not. So, I've kind of did the best thing I did by, investing in the real estate that I did, although a girl killed herself in the house. And an alcoholic built the house and sold a lot of the stuff from schools, I imagine, because I recognized a lot of it. I found over like 100 whiskey bottles and wine bottles in the walls and in the ceiling when I remodeled.
Well, maybe you could write a book about your autobiography on your home and be a bestseller. I don't know. But we'll keep putting energy out, Nathaniel, and that gives me some more information about where your income level is and what I might be able to expect, and I'll keep on working on that that money flowing in for you. But we'll do so.
Okay, Nathaniel, and let us know, you know, if anything changes, okay?
Hey, I really appreciate the Regal Touch.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. 562-596-7818. Okay, we have one final caller before we end the show today. 337, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Hi, fine, thanks. How are you? Who's this?
My name is Candace. I'm calling from Louisiana. How are you?
Oh, hi, Candace. Good, good. What?
C-N-D-I-S.
Mm-hmm.
I-S?
Yep. And what's your birth date again, Candace?
November 23rd, 1983.
Okay, and what's your question?
Well, I would love to see what y'all see coming up for me in a few months or this month or anything like that.
All right. Any good news?
Well, let's see what we got here. You're 31 years old. You had changed around 3 years ago. Do you have any, just say yes or no, just yes or no. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I do. I have six of them.
Uh-huh. And of those six siblings, just say yes or no, are any of them sisters?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do any of them have babies or children, or are there any that are likely to have a baby or a child somewhere along the way within the next year or two?
No. I have two that does, and have two that married and have two kids each, and then I have two of them that's never been married nor does have kids.
And do you ever have any opportunity to go out and visit them? Are you close to them?
Yes,
or
very close. All of us are very, very, very close. Extremely
okay.
Close.
Well, what I'm moving towards, Candace, is that there's going to be some involvement between you and your sister, one of your sisters. Probably you have two sisters that have children. You each have two children. Does one have any child between the age of 4 and 6?
Well, the one that has a child between ages 4 and 6, that's me. I have a daughter. She's 4.
Yeah. She has a daughter 4.
She has a daughter 4. Candace has a daughter.
You have a daughter 4, Candace?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Not this
then now I'm seeing it. Now I'm getting deeper into the element of where I'm going. So there's going to be a, you see, because I was seeing a daughter of 4, and so where my journey went with you today was I went from the two sisters to each have two children. Then I saw a daughter of 4, which now brings me back to you. So there's just something going to be centered with you. There's some kind of, now I'm in a symbolic ceremony. So it's like do you belong to any church or retreat or spiritual group, social, even if we have to go to a social group?
I am in church, very much in church.
Mm-hmm. You're very much in church. That was my first thought. There's going to be a significant change within the church. Now, are you just a participant in terms of being in the congregation, you go to church, or do you teach, do you involve yourself in church activities?
Well, I am part of the music ministry. I am the head singer of the music ministry.
Yeah. Well, that's where now we're moving deeper into the navel of this energy, and that part is where I'm experiencing there's going to be a happening, something good, but there's a change in that zone. That's what I have to share with you today, at least on the radio, that in that church setting, in your capacity and your involvement within the church, there's going to be a change. Now, that's also connected to a male figure. I don't know if there's a director, a chorus director, or somebody that is male now that you work beside, one of your colleagues. But as I approach this reading in a deeper level, I start to see a male emerge. Are there any men figures in your role, around your role, in the capacity of the church setting?
There's a few of them. But, there's an older mentor, like he's old enough to be my dad and grandfather, if that's what you meant. That's really,
yeah.
He was actually kind of, he made, when before he was really into the church, he was really well known in the music industry.
Well,
that's kind of like a mentor.
Yeah, there's something going on there. We're in the element of church, music, yourself, this individual. That's where I'm approaching, because you asked me a general question today, and that's where I seem to be going. Do you have any retreat or youth organization or event that's coming up that you're preparing for in the church?
Not right now, but I'm actually really trying to get my foot into the music ministry, but I'm actually looking forward to going. There's a good chance that I'm going to be, you know, kind of winging off the church, if you know what I mean, as far as my writing and stuff goes, because now I write for all types of genres, not just gospel. So, and then I have a good friend of mine who's also does music as well as I do, who's also in the music industry, and he does much more promoting as PR work. So,
well, Candace, the change in the dramatic attitude that I'm taking here could actually be interpreted as a weaning from the energy, because the change can mean that there's something dramatic more or less going on. And as much as it can be an involvement, it can be a reassignment of your musical skills that I'm interpreting. So I would say that that's where we seem to be going today. There's going to be a dramatic change somewhere in the shift. Now, if you're deviating from the gospel aspect of musicality, then maybe the energy you've done there thus far will be part of the substance of where you're going that now feeds a new kind of channel for you, given the same theme. So something in that realm is going to be happening between now and November. November hits hard, and then from November to November, it's really intense. So we're looking at about it. Just under 2 years, the next 2 years of my discussion with you is occupying the next 2 years of your life.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's pretty interesting.
You know, I just want to mention to Candace, I don't know if you watched, there is a special on PBS recently called American Voices. Did you hear about that at all?
I've never heard of that, but I will look it up now that you mention it.
Look it up. It's Renee Fleming, but actually what it is a master class with all kinds of different singers from different genres. So it kind of relates to what you're speaking about today. But there's, so there's opera singers conducting master class with up-and-coming opera singers. There's actually Kim Burrell was the person.
I love Kim Burrell. I'm her, a lot of people tell me that I kind of sound a lot like her in a kind of way.
Really?
So,
she's good.
Yeah.
And so
yes.
She's on there. I mean, there's all kinds of different singers, and it's a must watch if you're a singer, for sure. But you'll get online, I believe. I don't think it's playing on PBS anymore, but it's available online. Just look up American Voices, Renee Fleming, and you'll see it.
Okay. Wow. Well, so,
okay,
wow, that just the fact that something's going to be occupying my time now got me kind of curious. Wow.
Well, you move forward in that element, Candace, and keep us posted on your development and experiences. But that's where we're moving, and it should be exciting for you.
Yeah, let us know what you think of that show, too.
Okay. I will. Okay. Thank you.
Take care. 562-596-7818. All righty.
Well, so we have a minute or two left.
We have a minute or two left, yeah. So did you want to
say
wrapping up here?
Not too much. We don't really have time to get into anything in too much detail. We were talking about being psychically aware and tapping into our psychic potential. And that involves, you know, the whole rigmarole of what it is to be a human being, sadness, happiness, despair, elation. We have to understand that we are here to experience all the aspects of the emotions.
Right.
That's the beginning of being an empath.
Tap into the emotions without being overwhelmed by them.
And then you kind of pick your poison, if you will. You know, if you want to be a tarot card reader or an astrologer or just a psychic reader, a vibrational reader, a clairvoyant, whatever you decide to perfect it, work at it, craft it in such a way that you've demanded the depth and intensity of that particular channel, and that you've become an expert at it. You've become well-versed and well-defined. So you have to seek clarity, and you have to seek incisiveness, and it's exciting because we are not just dealing with a tangible craft, we're dealing with the esoteric sciences, the more subtle areas of existence, where we get into the element that is beyond the physical capacity of what we do as human beings, and more in the soul, spirit, astral realms, which become very exciting. That's what we're all about here on
this
show.
Yes, it is. It is. Well, Neil, I think we're about out of time. So we will be back on the air on Monday, of course, as usual, 10 a.m. Pacific. And we want to thank our callers and our listeners today for making the show possible. Thank you, Neil. And we will see you next week. Take care, everybody.